Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Whether it's her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct has everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 149, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say officially off the top, fuck the Koch brothers, fuck Fox News, fuck Rush Limbaugh, fuck Buck Sexton, fuck Ben Shapiro, and fuck Tucker Carlson, because I'm brave, Jamie, I'm brave. It's Thursday, I know. Can he say that is the question on everyone's mind.
Is that even allowed?
I just did, okay? So it's Thursday, September 3rd, 2020. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Hey there, Miles of Gray, what's it like not being sweaty? I've changed shirts 5 times already. Somehow still I smell like a Yeti. Yes, I do. My clothes more wet than Mountain Dew. I swear it's true. Hey there, Miles of Gray. Don't you worry about my short shorts. Muscled thighs for all to enjoy. With pale skin and sweat that glistens. Shield your eyes. Looking directly is unwise. At my blinding thighs. That is courtesy of Official Dickhead. And I am thrilled to be joined by my special guest, co-host, Jamie Loftus!
I'd like to make myself believe that COVID will end in 2020. But a second wave is coming and we never left the first. We're never gonna end quarantine. But I'm Jamie.
That's a really depressing one. That's from Will at Ultra Lantern. I just really wanted to go into the nasal register as early in the episode as possible.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Get that vocal warm-up in. You sound great.
Thank you.
How are you doing? It's been a while since I've been on a podcast with you. What's the latest in your world?
Yeah, so we were in Wisconsin for several weeks, seeing my boyfriend's family. Well, like self-quarantining, then seeing my boyfriend's family, then now we have to self-quarantine again. But we were in Wisconsin when the shooting of Jacob Blake happened in Kenosha, and then the wave of protests that sprung up because of that, and then the murder of the protesters. So we were fairly far, a few hours away when all that happened. But we went to the town over shortly after, because that is where my boyfriend's mom lives. And I don't know, it was a horrifying thing for that community to process. And it's a swing state. So there, you know, it's having a conversation with my boyfriend's mom, who is liberal, but needs to have difficult conversations had. And then there's the difference of several streets over, there's a QAnon house. So I don't know. I felt like I had a lot of my having grown up in blue state privilege examined of, I mean, there's certainly horrific things happening everywhere, but the way that this community processed it is different because the politics are so polarized. And so that was a complete mindfuck. And then on the way home, we learned about the murder of Dijon Kizzy in South LA, who was just 29. I know we're going to talk about him later by the LA Sheriff's Department. So yeah, just a wild, horrible time. And fuck Trump for showing up in Kenosha.
So you weren't there just to see him?
No. Okay, no, I was like, oh, wait, maybe we should hang around, kind of see what happens.
Gotta hang.
It was weird. We weren't like next to Kenosha when the shootings happened, but we were there a couple days later.
Yeah. Unfortunately, when the shootings happened, it could mean many different things in Kenosha.
Yeah. Shout out to everyone who's like holding it down in swing states, because it made me feel extremely naive, because it's like, yeah, you like liberal state privilege is a whole thing. Like, you really have to stand your ground in a swing state.
Yeah. And even in non-swing states like Portland, shout out to Robert Evans. Well, we are thrilled to be joined by the eloquent, the brilliant, the talented Chelsea Weber Smith.
Well, I am thrilled. I am super thrilled. And I don't have a satirical song to start with, but could I pop in with a quick fuck Ronald Reagan?
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. I like to come out of the gate hot. So
yeah.
Controversy, right?
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, a lot of people are going to disagree that listen to this show. Just kidding.
Yeah, right? I know. Revolutionary.
Yeah, we were just talking about how we need to get Ronald Reagan on the $5 bill.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Old
Fuck
Ronnie.
Ronald Reagan. Chelsea, how are you doing? And where are you joining us from?
I am in Seattle. So definitely a liberal Mecca, but also, like you said, a big battleground for Black Lives Matter and everything that's been going on. And so that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
Close to Portland, too. A lot of friends there, man. It's nuts.
And you are a poet, a musician, a podcaster, a student of American hysteria.
That's right. Yeah.
Which,
so. it's
God
real,
bless
man.
You.
I had no idea how relevant the show was going to become. We started it, you know, a little over 2 years ago, and we talk moral panics, conspiracy theories, fantastical American thinking, and it's basically like long form essays that we do each episode. But they're funny, they're terrifying, they're sad, lots of oddities of history. But we try to break down these fantasies through like a sociological lens. Like, why does this happen? Not is this true, but what's the moment in history? What's the moment in American psychology that sort of facilitates these things spreading and how they've always been kind of ingrained in us and come back in all these new ways.
And the show is called American Hysteria.
That's right.
Appropriately enough.
Right.
All right, Chelsea, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First,
great.
We are going to tell our listeners a few of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about the Red Mirage scenario, which is a scenario being put out there by some data firm called like Fishhawk or some shit. But they are funded by Michael Bloomberg, and they think what is going to happen is it's going to look like Trump won in a landslide on election night. And then it, as the mail-in votes are tallied, if they're tallied, it would switch to a Biden victory. But we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the Department of Homeland Security nixing a Russian interference warning that was supposed to be sent out. We'll talk about L.A. County sheriffs murdering a man, shooting him over 20 times, according to eyewitnesses, for committing a bike violation and running away from them, and allegedly punching one of the officers in the face. We don't know if that's
such
true.
Bullshit.
Yeah, we really, eyewitnesses don't seem to corroborate that. We are going to talk about a prominent opponent of Vladimir Putin being poisoned. We are going to talk about a guy in a jetpack casually flying around near LAX, or a person in a jetpack. I don't know. We don't know who it was. All of that, plenty more. But first, Chelsea, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
Well, I, few days ago, searched Cotton Mather dinosaur bones American nationalism. So
go on.
Yeah, great, beautiful, right?
Right.
It's a really interesting story. We're working on an episode about fake news, and so we go all the way back to the Puritans and sort of like what started these stories. And Cotton Mather found dinosaur, or no, not Cotton Mather. A man was just walking down the street, and a mammoth tooth rolled down the hill, hit him in the foot. He traded it to a politician for a cup of rum. And then Cotton Mather, who I call witch trial bitch, Cotton Mather, we know him, the Puritan minister who facilitated the witch trials. He took this on and decided that to reinforce his like scientific biblical shit that he did, he said that they were giant bones and then just mocked England like mercilessly, saying we have biblical giants and you don't. And then it turned out
in
that and then enslaved people were like, no dude, that's an elephant, like that looks like an African elephant, you know. So and they were like, that's insane, it's giant bones. So that's the kind of, you know, stuff you can expect from American hysteria.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now so the thing that actually happened was a mammoth tooth rolled down a hill.
That's as the story goes, hit a dude in the foot and he was like, this seems like something important, but I just want some rum.
Yeah, this seems like a good way
like
to get some rum.
Yeah.
Sure.
reasonable
yeah. Yeah, absolutely reasonable.
The fates
but it, and then it, and then they yeah and then they used it to like reinforce American nationalism by saying, you know, we're so exceptional that we have biblical giants buried under our soil in England has nothing. So it was great little oddities like that. I love. Yeah, and then I got a whole book about it, because if there's some weird thing that happens, some academic spent their entire life figuring out how to encapsulate it for people that can read academic texts, which is five people on earth. So
yeah it's a lot of I've noticed philosophy was my major, and it seems like it's a prerequisite.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's right. I don't know why.
I know that about you.
Yeah. But it seems like it's a prerequisite for it to almost seem like it's written in a different language a lot of the time for somebody to write philosophy, rather than like make it approachable. It's,
right.
They make it as inscrutable as possible.
Dude, the philosophy classes I took in college were just like a nightmare, and I consider myself like somewhat able to discuss philosophy, but it was like so deeply inaccessible that's kind of what our show is I'll read all these like deeply boring texts and try to make it so that just anyone could interact with the content, right? Mm-hmm. And I don't know why academia is so out of reach. It seems really detrimental to the cause that it wants to sort of touch, right?
It feels gatekeeping going on, maybe, but I don't know.
I wish I had taken a philosophy course at any point. I mean, it sounds like a fucking nightmare, but the classes I took were so profoundly pointless that I'm like, oh, maybe philosophy. I mean, why not? Really? I took a whole class on the television show Lost. So
kind of, I mean, that's basically a philosophy course because that show is like so deep.
Because it like actually really makes you think.
But like, what if they were in purgatory?
I did not watch that show.
Oh.
Or that class.
You
took the whole class.
Took the whole class and got a B.
That is college.
That is college.
Yeah.
That's college, baby.
Yeah. That's sort of what I was like with philosophy. I started like actually being interested in it like the day I graduated. I was like, I'm going to start reading some of this stuff as opposed to just doing it as a means to an end. I took philosophy instead of English because the reading was quicker. It was like 3-page reading assignments as opposed to novel length reading assignments. So it was pure laziness. Yeah. Chelsea, what is something you think is overrated?
Oh, this one's fun. So our next season 3 premiere is on true crime and how true crime's informed our society, which, you know, is going to be really fun. But something I really am annoyed by is the idea that serial killers possess some sort of genius or intelligence.
Yeah.
and if you don't mind, I would love to share a Zodiac quote that sort of proves my point.
Please.
So, yes, thank you. I appreciate that. So one of like the big Zodiac letters that came to police and the media was actually not about like a cipher or anything like that. It came on a card that said, "Sorry, your ass is a dragon." And it had two prospectors riding a dragon with a donkey. I don't know. It's ridiculous. And then he wrote, quote, ready? "If you don't want me to have this blast," meaning he was going to blow up a school bus, "you must do two things. Tell everybody about the bus bomb with all the details. I would like to see some nice Zodiac buttons wandering around town. Everyone else has buttons like Black Power. Well, it would cheer me up considerably if I saw a lot of people wearing my button. Thank you." And then after he didn't see any buttons, he said, "This is the Zodiac speaking. I have become very upset with the people of San Fran Bay Area. They have not complied with my wishes for them to wear some nice Zodiac buttons."
He was doing
just
merch
like, you're a
shit.
Fucking merch. Loser.
Was,
you're just such
like,
a loser.
This sounds like a podcast.
Right.
I don't like. They're like, "Wait a second, fam, why aren't you
could you please wear some nice buttons?
Fam, I sent you a free Zeitgeist Simpsons t-shirt. Why aren't you wearing it?"
Yeah, it's just like God. Embarrassing when you read serial killer, like actual quotes, you know, because Zodiac's like this mastermind and he eluded police, but really he was just like a serious douchebag down like,
right.
in his heart, which of course we know, but like it's just the genius thing. And then there's like Ted Bundy, who was just like ridiculous in court defending himself and ranting and raving and just being, you know, an idiot. But then he gets this like charming, I don't know, the way we reduce serial killers, I think is a frustration to me.
And it's genuinely harmful. To yeah. like glorify it. And also just because it's, you would think, you know, maybe perhaps that people would be less fascinated by them if they realized, you know, kind of how they're losers. They're truly
just
profoundly losers.
True losers. Absolutely.
It's not
yeah.
cool to be a
it's
serial
not cool.
killer.
And you know, also the whole serial killer panic, which of course is like such a panic because it's so rare to be killed by a serial killer, but it also really reinforced law and order, war on crime, rhetoric, and
That's
a lot like the man, like the mother of Sharon Tate was a huge, huge influence in the victims' rights movement, which on its surface is awesome and underneath also supports like very Republican policies. So it's just such a complicated genre that we don't really truly dissect. And I'm not like anti true crime or anything like that. I mean, I was definitely reading Manson stuff at about 12 years old, you know, so, but
yeah,
it's interesting. It's super interesting stuff.
That's
I didn't know at all. Yeah.
Yeah. I totally feel conflicted about my, interest in that stuff. I have this loose theory that the police basically talked Jeffrey Dahmer into claiming he was a cannibal, like because that he was arrested as Silence of the Lambs was becoming very popular. It was almost like the culture manifested because he was just keeping victim's body parts around, which is very gross, but also, you know, he was just, it was like a, he didn't know what to do with the bodies of all these people he was killing. And so it was more of a disposal thing than anything. But then he realized what, how much attention it got him, and how it, it's just so interesting to me that Silence of the Lambs and happened, and it was a national global phenomenon, and then he was arrested, and suddenly there's this famous serial killer who's also a cannibal.
Wow. That's yeah. That's a theory that I can get down with. I mean, you know, like John Wayne Gacy, right? All the media showed of him was him in his clown outfit. And we talk a lot about like the phantom clown panic that happened in 2016 and also happened in the 80s of, you know, all these kids seeing clowns and them being horrifying, you know, stranger danger murderers. And it kind of single-handedly changed the way that we think about clowns. You know, I mean, serial killers have such an enormous... And then there's like Ted Bundy that... all these fundamentalist Christians came to like at the end of his life, right before he was going to be executed. And they basically had a conversation blaming pornography for everything that Ted Bundy did. So serial killers are used like so much more than we really consciously notice for like nefarious means.
I think, I mean, I think my, where my, the first time I felt my relationship with true crime, because originally I was just kind of like in, I'm like, yeah, this is like, whatever, fun, and there's all the examinations of why is it appealing and all that stuff. But I think it was, I was having a conversation with someone about, I don't know, one of the bajillion true crime docuseries there are, and they were like talking about it in spoilers terms, and they're like, I've only watched up to episode two, don't spoil. I was like, but someone was murdered, like
when,
but that, but because that's how the stories are like treated and formatted, you're like, oh yeah, it's just being treated like it's fiction, basically.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Just
somebody's
think about
making
those,
a bunch of money. Yeah.
Somebody's
think
making
about
money.
Those development meetings where they're getting like giddy about the twists and turns of a real life, you know, serial killing. And
yeah, like you're using the, all the same manipulations that you would in a fictional text.
Right.
And yet I watched so much of it, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm like,
totally.
I'm like, have I stopped
I can't
watching?
Stop.
No.
No. I just feel worse about it, but I keep doing it.
Right.
Yeah. Yep.
Sometimes just, that's the least we can do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Chelsea, what is something you think is underrated?
Ooh, I'm going to say horror movies. Because I think horror movies are like, I mean, you've already kind of talked about it, but they say so much about cultural anxiety and like where we're at in the moment that they're coming out, and like the different genres, like the Satanism genre coming out with like The Exorcist was like right at the rise of fundamentalism, is like a force in politics, right? And then kind of was the kickoff to some of the satanic panic where people were convinced that there were satanic cults all over, you know, harming children in all of these sensational ways. And then there's like hillbilly horror. I'm really very interested, and the show's interested in sort of like the maligning of white trash and, you know, the poor white person as like this kind of psychic dumping ground for racism and people to blame, right? And so there's like the hillbilly horror genre with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Deliverance, and all of those different ones. And I think that it says a lot about our relationship to the poor, and how middle class people, like, right, like Deliverance, you have these basically hipsters coming in and canoeing down the river for adventure.
Right.
And then it's like, oh, it's the poor white people that are like hiding in the hills, which is a compelling and terrifying thing, don't get me wrong. But then, you know, like, I think Pennywise, the original Pennywise in the book, and Tim Curry in It really encapsulated the dangerous stranger coming after children with Stranger Danger. And really the satanic panic, our panic that our children are being constantly taken. And then even Frankenstein, this is like, we did a whole episode called Monsters about basically how the language of the monstrous has been used against us, like people of color, but especially black people, and how Mary Shelley's book came out.
King Kong, like there's,
Which one? King Kong? Yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's that's like so overt, right? Mm-hmm. But then like Mary Shelley's book about Frankenstein was reprinted the same year that the slave rebellion led by Nat Turner, which is one of the most famous of all time, happened. And all of the language of Frankenstein was used to talk about him, like he's broken from his chains. The chains, they use the actual language of Frankenstein. And then when the movie came out in the 30s, there was all this racial anxiety from the 20s with jazz clubs and white women, you know, being influenced by black men and the whole black men steal white women trope that's been around since the very beginning. Mm-hmm. And the movie had like these two interesting parts where it was like, again, like the dangerous black man coming after women, white women and children, because you've got that scene where he doesn't understand and throws the child in the water. And then there's also, though, this like other line kind of like of liberal do-goodery, right, where Frankenstein meets this blind man who could be like colorblind, right? And he teaches this like hopeless, helpless monster like the morals of good society. And so it's like this really interesting, I don't know, I just think we write horror movies off a lot as trash, but now we have like Get Out and we have Parasite and we have these incredible horror movies that are addressing social issues, and now our villains are, you know, elite cults or and even horror and trauma with like Hereditary and the Babadook, and you know, just it really tells something about where we're at. And they're like our urban legends, our fairy tales, you know, they're so vital to understanding culture, but we just like to think that they're trash, and you know, but really
it's pretty fascinating too, because even when a horror movie gets it wrong in terms of the cultural anxiety they're expressing, which they often do, it's still, like you're saying, it does kind of contextualize at very least the filmmaker's perspective, but often a prominent line of thinking during that time where, I don't know, on the Bechdel cast, we've been talking about this a lot lately because we're recording our Halloween month episodes, of how often, like, you said Hereditary, and I think Ari Aster is a huge perpetrator of this issue of like, he just cannot write anything in relation to mental illness intelligently or well. He just fumbles it every single time. And the opening scene of Midsommar is like the most horrific misinterpretation of bipolar disorder, maybe in all of film ever. But it is very revealing about who he is and how he views people. I don't know. Like, and it's also a very common stereotype that he's perpetuating there. And there's a million examples of it. That's one that, like, in the past couple of years has just like stuck with me. But it is like revealing of like, well, in 2019, this was still a pretty popular flawed way of thinking. And the way that, like, so often, like, monsters are differently abled, and just there's so many. I mean, it's fascinating and fucked up, and yeah, horror. It's like they really, that genre really like lays it out for you, for better and for worse.
Man, I love what you said about him, because he gets so, like, people love those movies, and I just cannot. And I read a quote from him, because I used to blog about horror stuff, and I read an interview from him that basically says he just tries to do the most transgressive fucked up thing. It's not a direct quote, but you know, that's his goal, is to make the most fucked up thing he can. And I think that is such a weird,
like, we'll do some privilege homework,
yeah, thing, dude, to do. Yeah, you know, like, I don't know. When you're writing from somebody else's perspective, you can get in trouble real fast that you don't understand, you know? So I appreciate that.
Chelsea, you said something about the clown craze, or the clown panic of a few years ago. So I had seen a bunch of YouTube videos of clowns doing, or like clown sightings and stuff. Was that all made up? Because it kept me awake.
Yeah, dude. I mean, like, so I don't know. Did you watch The Wrinkles, the Clown documentary on Hulu?
No.
I just watched it. I'm actually, I don't know. Dude, do you know the podcast You're Wrong About? I don't know if you, it's a great podcast, but we're doing a crossover. I'm going on their show to do a clown episode, which is like so much fun. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about. But there was a guy, if you watch this documentary, that he made a sticker that said "Call Wrinkles" and then a phone number, and he created this whole lore that parents were calling in to discipline their children with him. So I think, and it was all bullshit. Like, it was just sort of like an avant-garde, you know, whatever you want to call it, art thing. But then, you know, it's a hysteria in that, like, if you think of Satanic Panic, like children, like most of these sightings, and it happened in the 80s too. Very similar, but of course it moved much slower because the internet didn't exist, but it was all over the country, which is more interesting to me because it's so hard to spread those, you know, those ideas and those urban legends. But yeah, he did that. And then I think that, oh, what I was saying is, you know, they all come from about 7-year-old kids. And when you're a 7-year-old, you know, you can make up anything. Like in the Satanic Panic, it was like their teachers were flying around the room and, you know, they were being flown to Mexico and put in kiddie pools full of sharks. And everybody took this really, really seriously because, you know, it was a time when assault and sexual abuse of children was finally kind of coming to the forefront. But then it went too far, right, and everybody believed everything that a 7-year-old said. And as we know, I can remember being a kid and there was this whole controversy where these two girls were chased by a man with a scar on his face. And, you know, all these letters went home saying that this was true. It was on the local news. It turned out that they just were going to be late getting home. And they made up a story and it just got like madly out of control. I mean, can you imagine the stress of that? And then, you know, and then I just remember being like, oh, yeah, I saw him. Oh, absolutely. He was doing this and this. And, you know, I saw him in the woods. And that's just what happens is kids like one up each other. And then the parents find out, or they tell the parents, and then the parents take it seriously. Like, men were shooting their guns just into the woods, just straight up into the woods because they thought they heard a weird sound. Seems and their safe. Kids had said that a clown lived in a shack in the woods. So there's
what is this a metaphor for? It sounds like a metaphor for something.
I don't know. It sounds like QAnon shit to me. That, you know,
that's really interesting. Yeah. The point about it was a time when, you know, it was being acknowledged that children were being abused. And, you know, after the 70s, where it was just such a creepy decade in terms of, you know, like pedophilia was like a mainstream like thing. And but like it just reminds me of the two prongs of the QAnon thing where, yes, there is a massive problem with human trafficking and sexual abuse of minors that is being uncovered with the Epstein thing, and it is in the upper echelons of society, but it's not
but could there be anything more counterproductive into addressing that than QAnon?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, and then you can just like, what better villain is there, right? That QAnon, you can't create a better villain than a satanic pedophile. Like, there is no thing that society could more loathe and collectively loathe together. So it's such a evocative thing to build a movement around because it's so hard to say, oh, well, that's not happening. And so it's just this very, it's just a terrible thing. And the upper echelons, of course, are just as guilty of crimes against children as any other sect of society. Like, we act like this is, you know, like 90% of childhood sexual abuse is happening by people that they know, that the child knows. And so it's this other sensational thing that's like, here's where abuse is happening, so we don't have to deal with where most abuse is happening. And so it's bonked.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and talk about your myth.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House.
Take a listen.
We are lucky to be sitting with Alan and Amy Matthews in the flesh, William, Rusty Russ, and Betsy Randall.
Yay!
Thank you. Woo! Thank you.
Yes.
When those legends get here, let me know.
You're here. You're here already.
No,
you guys, we didn't either when we were watching this.
That's
day.
The thing. That's
we
the
didn't
problem.
Realize it until we started getting into seasons 3 and 4. And now we're like, oh, my God. You were both so good on the show. And we missed it because we were young.
We were kids and so self-involved.
Egomaniacs. Yeah. And didn't realize how great you were.
We've talked about it. I think you just assumed everybody was as good as them. And,
right.
and then
right.
you get into it. Right. As you grow up and you work with other actors, you realize how lucky we were to have you guys.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And Chelsea, we like to ask our guest, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false, or vice versa?
Well, you know, and I don't know if you guys have talked about this. I think you might have, but just memory and what we think of as memory is so interesting to me because it couldn't be a more like fallible thing. And I think we think of our memories as set in stone, like they're filed away in a cabinet and you recall them at any moment as if they are perfect and unchanging. But really, you can implant false memories. We know about that from the Satanic Panic and Christian psychotherapists that were really leading people into having these memories that turned out to be completely false. But I don't know about you guys, but I have memories that I know didn't happen. And they are so like clear and vivid. I have this memory of being shot at by my crazy neighbor, which is absolutely untrue. But I remember it down to like the bullets hitting the tree. And all it was my friends saying that it happened and me being like, oh, yeah, totally, totally.
Yeah.
But now I have this like visceral memory, and it's a problem in like eyewitness testimony. It's you can make things up with any suggestion. If someone said, oh, I think he was wearing a blue shirt, you're like, yeah, I think he was.
Yeah.
And it's just such a dangerous thing to trust our memories the way we do. And then we get like the Mandela effect, you know, where it's like, you know about the Mandela effect.
Yeah, imagine. We have talked about
yeah,
that.
I'm sure, you know, where an entire group of people wants to like rewrite history to prove that our memories are right, or they'll create a whole story like you know that there's two universes, which maybe there
right.
are, but you know, and so
that's
it's like
not
so, we're
why
so scared
we,
of it.
Yeah,
we're just so scared of our memories being incorrect that we'll kind of like write a whole mythos to.
For the handful of listeners who don't listen to every single episode, what is the Mandela effect?
Sure. It's the idea that at some point, well, the Mandela effect to start is basically a group false memory, and it came from Nelson Mandela's apparent funeral procession that everybody remembered that didn't happen because right. And it was a mixture of things like they remembered when he got out of prison and sort of like the celebration around that. But really, like, it's more about stupid shit from the 90s. Like Berenstain Bears is the most famous that many people remember it being spelled Stein, S-T-E-I-N, right? Yeah. And yeah. But then it's actually S-T-A-I-N and it's jarring. I'll tell you, it jarred me. It shook me, right? Because it's like, I remember it being the other way. And then there's like that the peanut, Mr. Peanut wears a monocle. Oh, no. It's all just all these dumb things, little things that people remember right. differently.
Yeah.
There's a great list of them. They're all escaping me right now. But and then the idea that there was a separate universe and some of us came into the other parallel universe
right.
where it's different. Yeah.
We switched right. over. Yeah.
So it's silly, but it's also weird because we do have masses of people remembering the same thing that didn't happen. And that's just super weird and interesting to me.
There's been some, I don't know how current it is, but there was research at one time that indicated like the memories that you visit very frequently are like become less reliable over time the more you visit them. Of yeah. like every time you revisit a memory, you're kind of opening it to slight alteration depending on, you know, what was your perception of the event? How are you feeling? How do you feel about it now? Like memories are
right.
changeable to some degree, which yeah. I always thought was interesting.
There's a psychologist named Elizabeth Loftus that I think I asked you when we first met if you were related to her or if you were secretly her. But she has done a bunch of work on implanting benign memories in people's minds, like that they had been in hot air balloons and memories of seeing Bugs Bunny at Disney World and just various things that are just by mere suggestion, the people are able to really like put a concrete memory in their brain that never happened. But yeah, there's also a study where people were basically asked about a memory immediately after the event happened and then further down the line. And the more they told the story, the further it got. And like basically if they added a detail or something that was incorrect about, I think it was the Challenger explosion, then became part of the memory, because every time you remember something, you're essentially retelling the story to yourself and you're adding all these different details.
It's like a memory of a memory, sort of.
A memory of a memory of a copy of a copy.
I love the Loftus study. Family cool have done study. A lot of work on this. So
the Loftuses. Yeah. Well, shit, this has been one of the most interesting getting to know you sections of the show.
I hope so.
Now we're gonna have to rush through the news, but that is fine because everything we just talked about relates to the news in many very interesting ways.
Sorry, I talk a lot.
No, it's
amazing. Like that was fascinating.
You are at the very heart of the things that I'm so interested in that we do this show every day.
Well, and that's why I loved Cracked. I mean, you guys were such an early influence on the show. I tried to work for Cracked.
Did you really?
But it's fine that I didn't.
Well,
no, I'm joking.
I personally
Chelsea's avenging.
I've
just come on here to just shit talk you. But
yeah. There you go.
It's a long con.
But it's cool to like be here, you know.
Yeah,
yeah, well, it is
really
a long
cool
con.
To have
yeah.
you.
It's
just, at first, honestly, Jack, when you put the red mirage scenario in the doc, I'm like, is this a way of saying that Joe Kennedy lost?
So that is the first story. And also
the red mirage scenario.
The red mirage
basically.
Scenario. Yeah. It's like the Pelican Brief, the red mirage scenario. But yeah, it's just a data firm that is kind of solidifying a description of what's going to happen on election night that we've sort of talked around. But it's basically that Trump's votes on election night, like the votes that will be tallied on election night, will reflect a shocking, surprising, huge Trump landslide victory. And then as more votes come in over the course of the next 4 days, I think they're estimating is going to take to tally up all the mail-in ballots, it will switch to a pretty definitive Biden victory. And I am unfortunately certain that the mainstream media is incapable of dealing with that sort of volatility in any sort of measured or disciplined way.
Nuance?
Yeah.
Don't like, know her.
They will flip the fuck out the moment it seems like Trump has won. And then Trump will use that momentum to declare victory. And then we'll have a toehold to delegitimize the mail-in ballots. So This is a very scary scenario that they said they based on, you know, a bunch of polling that was done, you know, together. It wasn't just like their individual poll. I think they based it on some 538 composite polling, which is scary.
Sure.
So I don't know what to do about that other than just prepare and acknowledge that, you know, keep preparing the public for this possibility, because otherwise it's just going to, you know, we saw it in a very kind of minor way with the 2018 midterms, where it was like, there's going to be a blue wave. Ha, psych, the blue wave never happened. And then over the course of a week, as more votes came in, they were like, the blue wave did happen.
We just needed to count the votes.
Yeah, it turns out.
Just needed to chill. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. This is one of those many scenarios that are coming up that it is much like the Postal Service. You just feel so helpless in terms of like what is a direct actionable thing you can do about this. But I do think that there definitely is some value in just kind of bracing yourself and understanding what the possibilities are. And yeah, I mean, passing the info along, because this, I don't know what we can do to really stop this from happening other than understand and not panic when it does.
Right. But there will be an attempt by the Republican Party to use those early results to just sweep everything else under the rug.
Like, I think, no doubt. Yeah.
Yeah.
That possibility is being underrated by the mainstream media's reception of this kind of study. They're just kind of being like, wow, that would be wild, because there would be 4 days in which we're wrong, but then everything will, you know, come out in the wash. And it's like, no, that's not going to happen. They will try to invalidate any results that are different from what they have on election night.
Without
Trump will be declaring victory for 3 straight days. There will be a large victory celebration as the other results are trickling in, assuming this scenario happens. There's a DHS warning that Russia is basically saying the same thing the Trump administration is saying about Joe Biden's mental health and mental capacity. And when this warning was going to go out to law enforcement officials and more local officials, it was basically withheld by Chad Wolf, acting Secretary of Homeland Security, Chad Wolf.
God, these names.
Chad Wolf.
These names.
You got Wolf. He definitely answers his phone as, you got the Wolf.
Wolf here.
Wolf barking.
It's better than God. This is Chad.
Right.
Chad Wolf sounds like a character that like would be on one of my mom's shows, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Chad Wolf.
We've talked before about the LA County Sheriff's office being implicated in just a number of white supremacist gangs and, you know,
yeah, getting violence. Tattoos for killing people, like just all sorts of shit. It's
were two LA County sheriff's officers, I don't even know the wording for that, shot a man who they had stopped for a bicycle violation.
Which, first of all, what the fuck is a bicycle violation?
I didn't even know it was a thing. Yeah.
Top to bottom, this is just absolute horse shit and makes me so angry. There's no, there, who gets, it's just, it couldn't be more mask off, targeting.
Right. According to eyewitnesses, they continued to shoot him while he was on the ground, shot him in the back, kept shooting, they say over 20 times. The sheriff's officer's account is that he had dropped a gun and was going to pick it up, but even they aren't saying that he had the gun, when they shot him 20 times. And they also left his body on the street for, hours.
Hours and hours and hours.
After handcuffing his dead body. This is also, we've talked about how we're really seeing, the cases that are breaking through are only the ones that happen on a video that somebody is, taking direct footage of the thing happening. And otherwise, it's just, this is basically as close as we've seen to something breaking through without a direct video of it. But I feel like the videos we've seen tell us a lot about, who's telling the truth in these scenarios.
So the name of the man who was murdered is Dijon Kizzy. And it just it couldn't be more, I don't know. I mean, the LA County sheriffs are a gang. They operate exactly like a gang.
Exactly.
And it just is sanctioned by the law. I knew a number of people who went down to protest before they had even removed the man they murdered body off the ground. And there's a lot that's already been written about it, but basically there's an overlap between some of the LA County sheriffs involved in this murder and other murders of people, including an 18-year-old just a couple of months ago. And so it's not just the same department. It's literally the same people that are perpetrating this over and over and over, and then are just staring protesters in the face and, just blocking anything. They were shining. I mean, it kind of reminds me of a lot of the tactics being used in Portland. They're shining lights into the crowd so that protesters cannot get video of what they're doing. So you don't know what's happening at all. It's unconscionable that it just makes me so, I don't know. I mean, a bike violation, fuck you. It's. So,
and like you said, there's video, we only see what there's video of. And we also, when we talk about police violence, I think people immediately think of murder, which is a very important thing. But there is so much violence that doesn't result in murder, right? There's so much violence that the police officers commit against, black men and women that is never going to, because you can complain, but a cop, we've seen him have 20 complaints against him before he kills somebody. And then, and even mass incarceration and all of these things that are included in policing that we also aren't fully talking about in the mainstream. I know that people on the left are really interested in dissecting this police state and all of the things that go with our justice system. But like you said, it's we're only getting the tip of this iceberg, this horrifying iceberg, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And one of the, and this happens in most scenarios that are similar to this, and unfortunately there's so many of them, but what is the outcome of this situation? This murder is being investigated by the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department.
Yeah,
so you're just having murderers investigate their own murder. And so what the fuck do you think they're going to turn up? I mean, we've seen it happen so many times at this point, but this was just he was on a fucking bike. It's just, I don't know.
Yeah. Let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The 2024 presidential campaign features two candidates who are very well known to Americans. And yet, there's complexity at every turn. Criminal trials for one of those candidates. Young voters who are angry. The Campaign Moment podcast from The Washington Post gives you what matters. I'm Aaron Blake, and I'm covering my 10th election cycle. My colleagues and I have insights that you won't find anywhere else. So follow The Campaign Moment right now, wherever you're listening.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House.
Take a listen.
We are lucky to be sitting with Alan and Amy Matthews in the flesh, William, Rusty Russ, and Betsy Randall.
Yay!
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. When those legends get here, let me know.
You're here. You're here already.
No,
we didn't either when we were watching this. That's the
problem.
We
didn't realize it until we started getting into seasons 3 and 4. And now we're like, oh my God.
You were both so good on the show, and we missed it because we were young.
We were kids and so self-involved.
Egomaniacs. And didn't realize how great you were.
We've talked about it. I think you just assumed everybody was as good as them. And,
right.
And then
right.
you get into, right. as you grow up and you work with other actors, you realize how lucky we were to have you guys.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And there's a prominent opponent to Vladimir Putin, Alexei Navalny, who has been poisoned. And one of the details that's getting kind of underlined in this story is that they used Novichok, which is a deadly nerve agent that, like, is sort of Putin's calling card, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I feel like it's fairly common knowledge that Putin has people murdered who are publicly in opposition to him. I found there's at least direct evidence that he's had 21 journalists murdered since he took power 20 years ago, and that's just subcategory journalists. So Alexei Navalny, as far as I know, was not even a journalist. He was a campaigner who made something called the Anti-Corruption Foundation, who was publicly basically investigating the wealth of Putin and his inner circle. This is information I'm getting from The Guardian.
His celloist.
Where does the money, you know, follow the money? Navalny was poisoned in his tea, I guess. It was just kind of revealed that it was this specific poison. And I have a quote from one of his associates, Leonid Volkov, who said, choosing Novichok to poison Navalny in 2020 is basically the same thing as leaving an autograph at the scene of the crime. So this has just been such a popular use of getting rid of the opposition. As we were talking about serial killers earlier, and this is kind of, it's like, oh, this is his signature move that I think is, you know, used as a warning to other people who are doing similar work. So, scary Putin news. RIP Navalny. Bad.
And
it's bad.
This is a name that it's like, you know who in advance is going to be poisoned or killed by Putin. I knew this name ahead of time as the person who is probably going to be poisoned by Vladimir Putin soon. Like, that's it's just so shameless. Did he die, or I think he's being treated, or?
Yeah, I don't think he is confirmed dead as of this recording. So he was hospitalized in Siberia after drinking some tea. Then he was flown to Germany. He is not. Yeah, but there's no quotes from him, so we don't really know what state he's in.
Right. Yeah, and Putin has complained that there aren't any cool buttons with his face on it.
I'm sure he forces everyone to wear them.
Right, yeah, there probably are, actually. Just nice fewer buttons than he would prefer. Yeah, 100% button adoption is what he's striving for.
Required.
Let's talk about jetpacks. So,
what is over this story?
The weekend, two pilots who were coming in for a landing at LAX spotted a guy flying, or a human flying 3,000 feet up in the sky. To put that in perspective, that's over twice as high as the Empire State Building. It's higher than, I think, the tallest building in the world. And so they both saw this person and then, radioed in. You can listen to the radio report where it's just... they're like, there's somebody with a jetpack about 3,000 feet off, up in the sky, you know, a couple hundred feet.
A man calling himself Jimmy Neutron
is claiming feet? Responsibility. I thought, I have never seen Jimmy Neutron, so I did not get that.
Jack.
But
absurd.
I apologize. But this is one of those things where it didn't make sense to me until I really thought about how high that is and how you wouldn't be able to see that from the ground. You wouldn't be able to see a person 3,000 feet up in the sky from the ground. It would just be like a tiny little speck in the sky. That's one of the things that I keep wondering is, like, why are pilots the only ones who are seeing these UFOs when they're flying around? And they're so high up and so comparatively small, or can be so comparatively small, that I guess you just would have to be in a plane and happen to be passing by somebody flying a jetpack in order to spot them.
This is a good old-fashioned weird-ass story. Like, what?
Could he breathe up there?
Yeah, 3,000 feet, you can
Science.
Breathe.
Science, okay.
You can breathe. Wait, so he was just like, was he wearing a mask? Like, what?
He was wearing a clown mask.
Yeah, he was a clown. Wearing yes.
A Nixon mask?
No.
What?
Yeah, Nixon clown mask.
Oh, my God, I don't even know what to say. Sure. So
sure, okay.
Sure,
great.
If that's what he says, then it happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so the ocean is 80% unexplored and 0.3 billion cubic miles of ocean. The air is 1 billion cubic miles, so we basically have no concept of what is flying around through the air, because it's just like so far away we wouldn't be able to see it unless you happen to be passing through that portion of the air, I guess, is what this story made me think about, is like, so it's just my skepticism about UFOs has been like, yeah, but we would have seen them. And it's, this story made me think more about like not necessarily because you're so far away from them and you only have like a line of sight on a very small patch of the sky and only like something that's very close to you.
Well, if they're that smart, they probably don't want everybody to see them, you know? It's like the story of the Illuminati where they're hiding in plain sight and like putting all these secret things in Justin Bieber videos. And it's like,
yes,
they would want to be a secret. UFOs would probably want to be a secret.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm stumped in regards to the jetpacks.
So earlier this year, a Jetman Dubai pilot, which I think is a company, flew 6,000 feet up.
I was like, wait, if his name was Jetman, of course he has to have a jetpack.
No choice.
Of the Dubai Jetmans. But flew nearly 6,000 feet up using a jetpack, but the flight lasted 3 minutes. So basically the problem with jetpacks has been that you can't have enough fuel on you to stay up in the sky for very long. I think there was Jetpack Aviation, which is based in the San Fernando Valley. So I'm looking at them around this story, but they claim to have invented what they call the world's only jetpack, which can reach up to 15,000 feet in altitude and can be operated for about 10 minutes. But I don't know. It's weird. Like I remember the story back in 2010 where somebody was like, yeah, we've done basically those same or similar statistics where they claimed they could fly around for 30 minutes. And then people actually went and looked at them. It was an Australian company. And they could only fly 6 feet in the air.
Oh no!
Dude, is that like moon shoes?
Went up 6 feet.
Right, exactly.
Otherwise
known as a trampoline.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm interrupting with my excitement over moon shoes. They weren't. That was the thing, is that the commercial made it seem like you were going to jump like 10 feet in the air, but you jumped like
it
less
was a couple
high
of inches
than you could. Yeah. You jumped less high than you normally
Right.
Moon shoes were ultimately a burden.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They weighed you down to earth.
Yes. A reminder of gravity. It was a metaphor for something.
Yeah. I like that. That's nice. A Nickelodeon metaphor.
Oh, Jack, you got to watch Jimmy Neutron.
I know.
I feel like your kids would really enjoy it.
Okay. Is it PG or G? That is actually a distinction that matters.
That's a good question.
I feel like it's super G.
I think it is G. And it's all the parents go away, so look out. But then it turns out they need their parents. Spoilers.
Good.
It's just parent propaganda.
Yeah. Big parent. Jetpack Aviation has their founder's quote in this New York Times article. The New York Times, by the way, this wasn't like from the Daily Mail or whatever. They said, honestly, we don't know who's working on a machine that would be foolish enough or reckless enough to do that. They are claiming it's not them.
No one knows what to do with the jetpack. Just
that's
no
a
one
death
knows.
Wish, man. Going up that high.
Chicken with a 747.
Seems unlikely, but I don't know. I'm no expert.
Oh, boy.
Well, Chelsea, it has been such a pleasure having you on the Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you and follow you?
You guys can find American Hysteria on any podcast platform. And then we have Instagram at American Hysteria Podcast and Twitter at AmerHysteria. So that's where you can find me, ChelseaWeberSmith.com. Mostly we do podcasting. Music has fallen away because all I do is read about Cotton Mather and Ted Bundy all day, every day. So I'd love for you guys. Yeah, our show's different because it's scripted, but I hope that it's funny and terrifying and interesting. That's what we hope. So it's different than this show, but I think it's got the same kind of heart and core.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying?
Man, I know this is cheating because it happened a bit ago, but I was in the woods for a little bit on a camping trip and I came back and my partner was like reading the news while I drove, and you know, someone had tweeted, former pool boy describes years-long sexual relationship with Jerry Falwell Jr. and wife. And I came out of the woods and like I was so overjoyed at this news. Like it filled me with such just absolute pure bliss. Because of course, yuck. Not to this unorthodox type of relationship. That's great. Do what you want, but you know, while maintaining this ridiculous facade. And you know, Jerry Falwell Sr. has always been on the top of our shit list on our show.
Yeah.
So not just the kind fill of person me with
you
joy.
Want to experience joy. That kind of reminds me, the way you described that reminds me of Jared Leto being in his cult for 2 months and then coming out and being like, COVID whom?
Like the best.
That was, I mean, terrifying that he has a cult, but that news item was really funny.
God, I want to do an undercover into that cult. What a dream. Yeah.
Now more than ever.
Now more than ever.
Jamie, where can people find you and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh, you can find me in all the usual places at Jamie Loftus Help on Twitter, at Jamie Christ Superstar on Instagram. I'm going to shout out one of my BFF Julia Claris tweets, at @OJuliaTweets. It's referencing the Joe Kennedy defeat in Massachusetts this week. So she says, this is easily one of the funniest things I've ever read. And she's quote tweeting a Politico, some really powerful Politico spin going on. So it has a picture of sad Joe Kennedy. And then it says, in losing his Senate race, Joe Kennedy III has freed his family from a political burden it has struggled to escape.
Congratulations,
so
Kennedy.
It's like, oh, right. That was that he was trying to escape. It wasn't that a Kennedy has never lost in Massachusetts before this week and people can't deal with it. It's actually he was trying to escape. And then Hayes Davenport replied with a gif of the genie's cuffs coming off. At the end of Aladdin. Oh, it's just funny. That's good. Yeah, that's all I have to say.
Poor Nancy Pelosi. Rough.
I know.
Rough. Who's she gonna clap at?
She was hoping that her friend Joe would come on the floor and they could clap together for press. So well.
A couple tweets I've been enjoying. People were tweeting this image of Jamal Murray and Donovan Mitchell like hugging after this amazing series where they combined to score the most points by a pair of players in a playoff series in NBA history, and they're hugging because Jamal Murray's team, the Nuggets, just beat the Jazz, and Donovan Mitchell's crying, and Joseph Flynn tweeted, Mitchell sobbing, I hate living in Utah so much, man. Which I think is funny if that's what he was crying about. And then Barmelo's Anthony just tweeted, I don't know why, but this shit is mad funny. And it's somebody put a Al Green photograph, like the shirtless, like doing the finger gun, Al Green photograph over the W and Walgreens. So it just says Al Greens. And that is one of the great pieces of public art I've seen in a while. So,
God bless.
Well done. God bless. You can find me on Twitter at @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. And super producer Anna Hosnier is recommending Della Move by Chronix to keep that reggae vibe going. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we'll talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Blaze fire hot, barrel full of crap. Ooh, barrel full of crap. Thin them coulda stop. Well, and them sell I got crack on the crawl at the barrel and reach the top. Well, and them shoe I sell out to my land in a foreign, my shoe never flop. Shell on the water, I'm ready, shell it down again and then call him a back. Who could I seek for calm and walk? Share with the wall, I'm a bridge and I'm 50-50 when it drop. I put my seat in one of my, yeah, Della splash, yeah, Della move, P&P.
Zeit gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.